Welcome to The Jump. I'm George Sedano, and here's what we've got for you today. The Ben Simmons saga continues to evolve. If he holds out, could there be financial implications? Also, up in the Pacific Northwest, have the Blazers done enough this offseason to keep Damian Lillard happy? It's also time for some NBA win totals. Will the defending champs win over 53.5 games this season? And lastly, Ronnie 2K joins us ahead of the launch of NBA 2K22. So put down the sticks, because The Jump starts now. Hey, what's up? Welcome to The Jump. I'm joined today by NBA champ Kendrick Perkins and our senior writer Ramona Shelburne here in studio with me. We'll have more guests joining us here throughout the show, but let's begin with the Ben Simmons saga. Our Tim Bontemps and Bobby Marks wrote an article today on ESPN.com that summarizes where Simmons and the Sixers are at this point. It has some interesting financial details, including the caveat about how Simmons' contract is paid out. There's a huge chunk of that money scheduled due on October 1st. So, Ramona, can you take us through the details here?
Well, there's two dates you need to know. Okay, September 28th is when camp starts. If Ben Simmons doesn't show up to camp, that's when his clock starts. October 1st, that's when the Sixers have to make a decision. That is when 25% of Ben Simmons' salary is due. That's $8.2 million. Okay, that is when the first 25% is due for him. And so, you know, that is when they need to decide, are we actually going to withhold that, or are we going to pay him and keep him being paid even if he doesn't show up? A couple of teams I talked to said that they wouldn't be surprised if the Sixers went that route as well. So it's a big decision for both sides.
All right, Perk, I'm going to ask you straight up. $8 million, that's a lot of coin. Would you give up $8 million?
Well, let me say this. It's roughly 6,500 languages around the world, okay? And I just asked one today. And you know what that language is? It's called facts. And here are the facts right here. Hell no, I would not give up $8 million. Here's what I always tell the young guys and tell guys in the NBA. Get your money. Get all the letters that you possibly can. Leave nothing on the table and give nothing back. At the end of the day, this is a job. I know it's entertainment to others, but the big priority is to get your dollars, because it doesn't last long. And on top of that, right, be a true professional. All right, at this point last year, we were dealing with a similar situation with James Harden, and we were crucifying James Harden for not showing up to camp. And when he did show up to camp, not wanting to be there and the distraction that he's caused. So we have to keep the same energy with Ben Simmons. I know he wants out, but at the end of the day, you're getting paid a lot of money to do your job. And by the way, nobody made Ben play bad. Doc Rivers kept Ben Simmons in the game last year when he should have took him out. This is on Ben Simmons. He has to be mentally tough. They booed Kobe Bryant when he went back to Philly. They booed Santa Claus when he was in Philly at one point in time. That's just what Philly is. But you have to get through it. But no, I'm not leaving $8 million on the table.
So don't think of it as leaving it on the table. Think of it as not going into your pocket right now. Mm. More like a deferred payment. Because Ben Simmons can not show up to camp. The Sixers can decide not to pay him. But if he gets traded later in the year, he can get that money back. They could pay him later in the year if they work it out. And it's a gambit, right? How long can you not get paid? I don't know how good his accountant is. I don't know how well he's saved. He seems to have nice things, but he's made a lot of money in his career. And so if you really do want to be traded and you are willing to go without a paycheck, this is your best way to force that issue. It is about leverage here, Perk. And right now, Ben Simmons' best leverage is to make things very uncomfortable on the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, if the Sixers decide, well, you know what? If he doesn't show up, we're going to pay him and keep things nice, because maybe we can talk him back into coming back to the team eventually. They could do that and keep things nice, but what happens if you start like 4-6? What happens if you start 3-7? Now you're paying a guy not to work for a team that should be a lot better.
It sounds like Perk's dog is not happy with the $8 million not hitting the direct deposit on time for anyone, let alone Ben Simmons or even Perk. So Perk, what do you make of that? Even if it's deferred, is that okay for you, or are you just saying no? He's still got to show up.
I'm just talking about being a true professional, okay? Yeah. And I'm gonna dive a little deeper. Right, we at the point of our, like, NBA guys are at the point of they their careers, why where the NBA has gotten to, where guys are able to make $30-40 million a year, right? So you had a generation of players like Larry Bird, Dominique Wilkins, Magic Johnson. Those guys paved the way for guys like Ben Simmons to be getting paid top dollar. And what I'm saying is, Ben Simmons has an obligation as well to make sure he does his part to make sure that he shows up to work so it don't affect the younger generation, so that the NBA can continue to pay players $200 million. Because what's going to happen is the CBA is going to come up and owners are going to say, well, we remember what happened with James Harden. We also remember what happened with Ben Simmons. And then all of a sudden, it's going to be a clause. All of a sudden, it's going to be a Ben Simmons or a James Harden rule. And it's not fair to the upcoming basketball players that have dreams of making it to the NBA or that are going to make it to the NBA, that they're not going to get the same opportunity to be blessed to make this type of money.
That's a great point, Perk. And I think the larger issue here for Ben Simmons is the reason he don't want to go back to Philly is because he didn't play well. There, people said some things that upset him. But the issue with him shooting at the free throw line or three-pointers, that's going to go with you wherever you get traded to. And well, so you either deal with it now or later.
And the Embiid part of this equation, where is that, Momo?
As far as Joel Embiid's concerned, he said what he said. He put it on Twitter. He put it out there. He put it out for everyone to see. He's fine with Ben Simmons. He would be fine with him coming back. Everyone appreciates Ben's talent. I think the issue for Ben is, can he come back, show his face in Philly, withstand those boos that Perk is talking about? Everybody knows that's going to come. Is there anything he can say or do to ingratiate himself back with the Sixers? In his mind, it's no. He just wants a fresh start. But you have 4 years left on your deal. And as Perk says, if you don't show up, they don't have to pay you. But not paying him in some ways doesn't help their leverage in trading him. And so I think this will be an interesting debate within the Sixers front office and around the league of how Philly handles this if Ben Simmons really does not show up.
What a game of chicken we've got here between Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers. It'll be fascinating to see how this all unfolds. Speaking of how it's going to unfold, Hall of Fame week. So it's time to run it back with our guy C-Web. Chris Webber's top five plays, 1994. Check this out. Elevates for the snatch block right there on the Spurs. Come on now.
The snatch block is so
good.
I mean, because you control the possession. You don't just swat it into the crowd. You control the possession, start the fast break.
Led to a bucket. 2002. Dimes up Vlade here. Come on. Wow. Was that Jamal McGlure, Big Cat, who got caught there? Yep. And P.J. Brown. Most fans aren't used to seeing. There you go. 1994. He climbs Mount Mutombo.
Yeah, there's no finger wag after that.
No.
That's just a different type of tenacity.
That's young C-Web right there, too. Washington. 2001, he goes baseline and puts it behind Jake Sakalidis' back. That was a playoff game right there. That's wild. Doug Christie, the recipient there.
Oh, that's goodness. Mean.
Oh, 1993 is up next. Rookie year. Behind the back and packs it on Charles. Take that, Chuck. And by the way, take that cameraman with Chuck's booty.
The behind the back is so unnecessary, right? He didn't need to do it.
No, it was very necessary.
Just because I can.
Charles is out there watching going, man, why'd y'all do that to me? All right, now joining us to discuss Chris Webber in detail is Myron Metcalf, our ESPN college basketball reporter, who recently sat down with Chris Webber one-on-one. So, Myron, when you spoke to Chris, what sense did you get about how much this Hall of Fame induction means to him?
I think it means a lot. I mean, I think he was waiting 8 years. It was a long wait, and he was sort of waiting for that validation. But I also get the sense that he's just doing so many amazing things in his life. He's just at peace, raising his family, his four-year-old twins. But I think this is certainly a cherry on the top of the sundae for him, finally proving that, hey, he belongs in that crowd.
Now, a huge part of Chris Webber's story will always be his stamp on the college game as a member of the Fab Five with Michigan. For our younger viewers who probably didn't see that unless they're watching it on YouTube, what was the significance of that group on the culture of basketball?
I mean, the Fab Five, they were the first reality stars. They were the first rock stars. I mean, they would have gone viral today for sure if we had had social media back then. I know myself and a lot of other people like me got their first fade because of the Fab Five. So they brought college basketball to a lot of us around the country and made us real fans. Even if you didn't love Michigan, even if you didn't care about the Big Ten, you saw those guys and you said, hey, I want to follow what they're doing.
Yeah.
So they had an incredible impact on the culture.
No question about it. Just from top to bottom, really. I don't think there's any doubt about that. All right, much has been made about the rift between Weber and some of his other teammates with the Fab Five. Did Chris indicate to you that maybe they were working through some of those things?
Yeah, he did. I mean, they're all brothers. The Fab Five, those guys still keep in touch. It just sounds like Chris and Jalen have to have a private conversation. He said, listen, I've got a bunch of brothers and sisters, and this is what happens sometimes when you love someone. So they still love each other very much, but Chris just needs Jalen to kind of go into a room. They can settle their differences, and then hopefully we can get that public Fab Five reunion that we all deserve and that we all want to see.
Yeah, hopefully that will be the case for sure. I mean, listen, it happens on our show all the time between Richard and Perk, so we deal with it. We get it. Trust me. All right. Thanks so much for joining us, Myron. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. To check out the full interview with Myron and Chris Weber, make sure you check it out on the ESPN app. All right. Coming up next, Dame was on IG waxing poetic about returning to Rip City for another season. Have the Blazers done enough to keep him happy, though? We'll discuss that next. Today, the Clippers announced they'll break ground on their new Inglewood-based arena on September 17th. That day will include a ceremony that will include PG, Kawhi, and Steve Ballmer, who are all scheduled to attend. The arena is slated to be ready for the 2024-25 season. So, Ramona, what will it mean for the Clippers not to share Staples Center anymore with the Lakers?
Well, Steve Ballmer has said from the beginning it is his number one priority to get them their own home, that they can't build their own brand, their own identity, unless they have their own building. And so he's put a lot of money into this. And it's also Kawhi's first appearance since the Drake video.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Well, I mean, I just hope they hang some banners in the new arena. I know they out of what.
Yeah, listen, in LA, Momo knows this, Perk. You've played in this city. You know, you see what it's like. You don't hang banners, nobody cares. That's just the reality of it, for sure.
Fun guy, what's up, baby?
What it do, baby?
Make, miss. It's a make or miss league, baby. That's it.
Make miss, make reputations. Earlier this week, Russ was training and packed it on his trainers here. then he let him know about it, as you see here. So, Perk, remember when he yelled at some baby in the bubble or whatever? Is there anyone he hasn't yelled at?
Nah, Russ is going to yell at anybody that's not on his team. He don't care the age or whatever. He'll yell at your grandmother. The fact of the matter is this. Why are the trainers wearing pads? That's how dangerous Russell Westbrook is, even when he's working out.
Good point.
I mean, they also got like Nerf bats or something.
Yeah.
I think those are like UCLA students or something.
He's yamming it on them, though, for sure.
Like umpires out there with those padding there.
Next, miss answers. The captain, Derek Jeter, delivered his Hall of Fame induction speech yesterday. Michael Jordan and Patrick Ewing showed up to support him. So, Ramona, who's a good NBA comp for Jeets?
Okay. The only thing that popped into my mind was Tim Duncan because the longevity with one franchise, all of the winning. But I don't know what kind of gift bags Tim Duncan was there. I mean,
oh, look, no gift baskets.
Tim Duncan's probably as beloved in San Antonio as Jeets was in New York, but like different market. I don't know. Derek Jeter's one of a kind.
Yeah, I second this. Staying with one franchise, winning multiple championships and World Series, I have to say Tim Duncan as well. Ramona, you were on point like Rondo with that one.
See, I would have gone with Kobe. Like, I thought, you know, Kobe when I thought Derek Jeter. Just, you know, young, one franchise, you know, came through. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, but never made LA, a second-day story. Jeets made no second-day story. Right. Kobe right. did.
Next, make progress. The up-and-coming Hornets hosted an open run. Perk, what does the next step look like for this Charlotte squad? And why weren't you at that open run?
Well, first, I can't run no more. That's the first thing, yeah. George. But second of all, look, this team right here is going to be a threat to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. And what you have is you have a bunch of young guys that love the game of basketball. These guys just want to hoop. From Balls, from Oubre to Rozier. These guys want to play the game of basketball. They love it. This is a beautiful thing to see. This is how you develop camaraderie before training camp.
Camaraderie, culture, and I think the biggest thing for them is just staying healthy. LaMelo needs to stay healthy this year.
Yeah, if they do that, they'll make the playoffs, I think, in the Eastern Conference. I agree. And shout out to James Borrego, right? Yeah. And Mitch Kupchak. Everyone left Mitch Kupchak for dead, right, after the Lakers. And look what they've been able to accomplish there in Charlotte so far. And we'll see what their future looks like. Speaking of the future Dame time with the Blazers seemed murky this summer. But Dame posted this on Instagram on Wednesday, quote, "Back for more. Hashtag Rip City is my city." This offseason, the Blazers re-signed Norman Powell, added Larry Nance and Cody Zeller, but lost Carmelo Anthony, Zach Collins, and Enes Kanter. Plus, they enter the year with a new coach in our friend Chauncey Billups. So, Perk, have the Blazers done enough to make Dame happy here?
You know what? I wouldn't use the word happy, but I would use the word satisfied. And I think he's going to give it a shot. And I think one reason is because of Big Shot, Chauncey Billups. When you think about what Chauncey Billups done throughout his NBA career, is what Dame Dolla is trying to accomplish. Win the championship, win finals MVP. Both of them played the point guard position. And Chauncey was on one of the greatest, if not the greatest defensive team of all time in NBA history. And so he's going to bring that to the Portland Trailblazers. We all know that Portland could score with the best of them, but when it came down to the defensive side of things, they were all moving like they had two left feet.
I think Larry Nance Jr. is going to be really good for them in that role. That was a sneaky good pickup there. But have they done enough to appease it? No, we're just going to see how they play. When he goes and gets out there in the first month or two of the season, everybody's going to be watching to see how this Portland Trailblazers roster comes together. And if they get off to a good start, I think it's going to go a long way in keeping him happy and giving them the rest of the season to convince him to want to stay there. I think we started off the show talking about Ben Simmons and him not wanting to show up to camp. This situation with Dame easily could have gone in that direction. And even more so because he has legitimate reasons to want to go someplace. I think Dame probably has a better reason than Ben Simmons because this is more on the franchise than on him. But Dame just got married over the weekend. He's in a good mood. He's doing the wedding hashtag for himself, doing it with the city. I think that's a good sign. He's going to start camp in a good place, in a good mood. It's not going to be it will be a distraction for the Trailblazers, but if they play well, if they start winning, I think he stays there.
Yeah, I just think the West is so hard and so deep. And look, defensively, that's been a big issue for them. And hopefully, as Perk mentioned, right, like that's where Chauncey puts his stamp, on top of just obviously helping Dame along, right? Like, look, that Detroit Pistons team that you mentioned, Perk, yeah, they were a great defensive team, but they were kind of an underdog in a lot of ways when they won that championship. Can he get that out of this group and say, hey, we may not be the favorite in the West, but I've been on a team that wasn't the favorite, and look what we ended up doing. So,
well, that defensive effort starts with Dame then. I mean, if you're the leader of the team and you need to improve the defense, it's got to start with Dame and CJ.
You agree, Perk?
Well, one thing I can say is when we watch Dame in the Olympics, I watched Dame fighting to get up over screens because Greg Popovich was holding him accountable. So when I look at just the makeup of this, look, we got to remember, this team was in the Western Conference Finals just 2 years ago. So, 3 years ago, I'm sorry. So when I'm looking at Dame Lillard, yes, it started from the head of snake. You look at what C.J. McCollum has been doing throughout this summer, posting offseason workouts, putting in the work. Nurkic, like everybody has been down on Nurkic, including myself. But there was a point of time where Nurkic was filling up the stat sheet where he was actually doing his job. So now when you have a guy that played at the highest level, and we witnessed this with the Atlanta Hawks and the Phoenix Suns, and who knows? We don't know what could happen. Again, they had the injuries happen throughout this postseason. A little luck and the Trailblazers could be right in the thick of things.
All right, Perk, we'll see. Momo, thank you for hanging out today. We'll see you soon.
All right, Reggie.
There she is. All right, coming up next, Ronnie 2K joins us to talk all things NBA 2K22 on the eve of its release, including how a certain analyst on this show became a virtual character in the game. So stick with us. You're watching The Jump.
Ronnie 2K is the one that does the ratings. Did you watch Ronnie 2K play last year in the celebrity game? How can he have the audacity to give anyone a rating the way that he looks on the basketball court?
They were joined by two very special guests, Ronnie 2K from NBA 2K and MP. I love to keep chopping it up with you guys, but my producer's telling me that's all the time we got for this segment.
Oh, how the world turns. It's interesting to see. We'll get to that. NBA 2K22 comes out tomorrow, and we had to bring in the face of the 2K franchise, Ronnie 2K. All right, we saw our friend Big Perk there make his announcing debut in the game. Ronnie, how did that even come about, man? Because he was talking smack about you not that long ago.
I know, it's amazing. That usually wouldn't be the ingredient for success, but Big Perk's been doing big things, so we had to show love. Look, a lot about what 2K does is to make the real world come to life. And with all the, you know, back and forth rivalry that Kendrick and I have had, it just seemed perfect to put it in the game and have some fun with it. Which is why Kendrick was great to have on set and just killed it with his role in 2K, which I can't wait for people to see.
Now, how did the actual beef come about, though? I'm curious about that.
Go
ahead.
No, it really wasn't that bad. I was just a little upset about my rating on NBA 2K with the Celtics. So I said, you know what? Look, I'm about to watch this celebrity game during All-Star Weekend, and I'm about to give Ronnie a rating. And you know what? Ronnie really wasn't that bad, but because I was so emotional and caught up in my feelings, I had to give him the business.
Well, but Ronnie.
I wasn't that bad. Wait, hold on. I wasn't that bad. I had 10 points in the first quarter. I had as many points as the MVP Common in that game. I got iced out by Quavo for the rest of the game. That's what happened. Go watch your tape again, Perk, and then give me a roll rating.
Now, Ronnie, do you remember the rating you gave him that upset him? Do you remember it all or no?
It was like somewhere in the 60s.
it was like a 60. And look, I was an NBA champion, George. I'm like, hold on, Ronnie, at least give a brother a 75. Everybody on the starting five had an 80-plus except for Big Perk.
We're lucky it's a team game, Perk. We're lucky it's a team game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny, man. So,
clearly, hey, George, listen. I will say this. I enjoyed every minute of working with Ronnie when I was down there, you know, doing my part. I mean, everything about it, looking at it behind the scenes, watching how much work those people behind the scenes put into actually making this game what it has become today. It was a beautiful thing to see and a beautiful thing to be a part of.
So, Ronnie, clearly we've seen how players get a little sensitive about their ratings. I've seen plenty of guys tweet you over the years. How do the ratings come about?
Originally the ratings were a mechanism for our own players to have identities, right? Like, how do you separate a Michael Jordan from the rest of the players in the league? We have to assign ratings from them. And, you know, over the years, it's become this kind of cultural phenomenon that bothers so many players. I mean, I don't know if the number so much bothers them, but where they rank against their peers, look, they're very competitive. It's another way for them to be competitive. So that rating has meant so much to these players, and it's really taken a life of its own and meant so much to our franchise.
Well, look, there's a number of cover athletes this year. Luka, obviously Candace Parker is on the WNBA 25th anniversary edition. You also have Dirk, Kareem, and KD on the NBA 75th anniversary. How did you decide on those?
I mean, Candace was a no-brainer. It was very important for us to celebrate the legacy of her career. That's obviously a GameStop exclusive. It is the 75th anniversary, so we needed to celebrate the transition of the game and all of the wonderful people that have played, and those three guys represent them among anyone. And then Luka, obviously, with the success he's had early in his career and what he means to the global, you know, world of basketball, he was an incredible partner. You know, we just did the 2K Foundation's court in his hometown of Slovenia, and to open up a court and give back to the game that he loves so much and, you know, is making his life now, was incredible to partner with him on. So he's been an incredible partner as well.
Now, Ronnie, in April of last year, you guys had a 2K tournament that Devin Booker ended up winning. Is there a potential for another tournament? Can we get Perk in there so you can clown him on his skills?
Perk, I can't wait to rate your actual 2K skills. But no, that was a phenomenal thing, you know, with the pandemic coming about, and for us to find another way for these athletes to find their competitive juices and like put it out there, bring their personalities to life. That's not something that fans don't see every day, to hear them talk trash. Obviously, they talk trash on the courts, but with those microphones and getting into that experience, it's something that a lot of the fans like felt relating to. So to get those guys to do that, I would love to do it again. I think those definitely something that the fans want to see. It's always about timeline, right? And I'm sure we're going to continue to build and look forward to doing some more with that program.
Hey, Ronnie, listen, besides yours truly being on there and having my talk show, Top Show Daily, what are you excited most about for us with the game releasing tomorrow and everything about it? Like, what should we expect?
So this is our 23rd title. And, you know, Perk, having you represent us and having all of the elements of the basketball world represent us for these 23 years, it's quite incredible. You know, we're trying to be as authentic as possible and really connect with the fan. And you said it earlier, and you stole the words out of my mouth. Our team, you know, year over year, has just created an incredible franchise that means so much to the fans. And there's so much work that's put in by the Visual Concepts team to innovate and, you know, give the fans what they want year over year. And it's been incredible. I'm really excited about the My Career Mode, obviously getting to interact with you, getting to interact with myself. People will get to do that. There's a lot of NBA dignitaries that people are going to get to act with, like Chris Brickley, the game. So that's going to be really fun to see those scenes come out. But obviously it starts with gameplay. Our gameplay is second to none. And it's going to be really fun to watch people just enjoy the offense-defense metagame that is basketball.
Well, Ronnie, thank you so much for hanging out. NBA 2K22 drops tonight at midnight Eastern. Make sure you get on that. Make sure you check out
Perk.
Make sure you check out Perk and his talk show at NBA 2K22. Ronnie, thank you so much, man. Appreciate you.
My God,
yeah, appreciate
Ronnie.
You, Perk. Big Perk, I'll see you soon.
All right. There you go. All right, coming up. Here on The Jump, we're going to take a look at some of the over-unders coming up. Win totals for this upcoming season, including the Lakers. Caesars Sportsbook has them at 51.5 wins. What do you think? We'll get to it next here on The Jump. The Atlanta Dream announced former Falcons executive Morgan Shaw Parker as their new president and COO on Wednesday. Remember, the Dream switched ownership back in February to a group that includes former WNBA All-Star Renee Montgomery, as Monica McNutt now joins us here on the show. Monica, what does this move mean for the Dream?
Well, George, I mean, it is symbolic. Of course, Morgan brings a wealth of knowledge in this space, but it also shows that the WNBA isn't like, I'll go do this. People are choosing to be a part of the league and all that is ushering in its next era, celebrating 25 years this year.
Hey, Monica, I don't know if you heard earlier, but I came up with a new language called facts, and that's what you just spoke, that new language called facts.
There you go. That's all you need to know. You got the Perk stamp of approval. Hashtag facts. That could be his new slogan on top of Carry On. Here's the weekend lineup on the ESPN family of networks and the ESPN app for this weekend. The U.S. Open women's final on Saturday on ESPN on ABC Saturday night. Washington visit the Big House, take on Michigan, and the U.S. Open men's final is on Sunday on ESPN. And, of course, week one of Monday Night Football is Ravens and Raiders in Vegas. That's on ESPN and ABC. And, of course, Peyton and Eli Manning are on ESPN2, while ESPN Plus has even more options for you. Check it out. It's 40 days until opening night in the NBA, so let's look ahead a little bit here. Since we have Perk here, we're going to solicit some gambling advice. All win totals here are courtesy of Caesars Sportsbook. We'll begin with the defending champs, who are listed at a win total of over 53.5. Perk, are you taking, or actually they're listed at 53.5. Are you taking over, under on the Bucks, 53.5?
Well, George, this is what I call the dead boat lock, and I'm taking the over. Look, one thing I would never do again in life is doubt Giannis Antetokounmpo, okay? Because he is never satisfied. And then you bring it back Middleton, along with Jrue Holiday. I love the addition of Grayson Allen, along with Bobby Portis, okay? Bobby Portis is going to play a more significant role. I see the Bucks having 60 wins easy. I'm taking the over.
Ooh, Perk, you're right about Giannis. He's never satisfied, but I think that there's going to be just a little bit more coasting here, and teams are going to be gunning for this squad to assert themselves. So I'm taking the under, but barely, like at 53 flat.
Nah, I'm with Perk here, Monica. I mean, Giannis does not know how to take his foot off the gas. Like, and honestly, neither does Mike Budenholzer, really, in a lot of ways. I know people joke about all the minutes or whatever during the regular season, and it plays him a certain amount. That's because Giannis and Chris Middleton and those guys are going at it for the first 3.5 quarters against whoever they're playing. So I'm going to be with Perk. I'm going to go over on this particular one. But next, we have the Lakers here in Los Angeles, where I'm at, whose win total is listed at 51.5. And Perk's dog already upset that we're talking about the Lakers. Was that Monica's dog? How many dogs we have on this show?
She does not have.
We have a lot, George. We have a lot of dogs, and they all are disagreeing with their owners at the time. Like Monica dog was mad at her for taking the Bucks on the under, and rightfully so. Monica, what's your dog name?
Hoops. And listen, her name is Hoops.
Okay.
Well, Hoops had a problem with you, and rightfully so. Yeah.
Hoops felt that Giannis was going to go over.
Who feeds her.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so over under, Monica, 51.5 on the Lakers.
All right, I really wanted to, like, push this one because I'm going to go over, but not by a lot.
Okay.
What? Look, this is another dead boat lock. You cannot tell me that you're about to have LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, Anthony Davis, Carmelo Anthony, Rajon Rondo, Dwight Howard, Trevor Ariza, all of these players, and you're telling me that they're not going to have a 60-win season? Please. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they wouldn't pass the surface of hitting a 70-win season.
Oh, Perk, now you're getting crazy. Come on.
Just look Perk. At Perk!
Look at this lineup!
Perk!
Look at this lineup!
Listen, and you gotta tell me the last time that in this lineup all these guys played an entire season. Is this gonna be a playoff team? 100%. But 70 wins? Listen now, I know we're supposed to be professional on TV, but Perk, now listen, you bugging.
How I'm bugging with six future Hall of Famers. And look, you have two of them that has chips on their shoulder. One thing I know, okay? One thing I know, it's almost like fighting Floyd Mayweather. This is how the Lakers are going to be every single night. Just the build-up, the intensity of playing the Lakers, the crowd, the atmosphere. Those younger teams that are out there, they're not going to be ready for that. So the Lakers are ready.
You remember? You remember that language you came up with today? You did not answer the factual language of when was the last time that all those guys you mentioned played an entire season.
I just told you before we came on camera to fix your body language. I just told you that.
Listen, Park, I'm just saying.
Okay, well, listen, here's what I'll say. I'll split the difference a little bit here, okay? Well, listen, I agree it's over. I agree. I think we all agree. Let's start there. We all agree it's over, whether it's a little over or a lot over. We all agree it's over. Now, I think, Monica, a little over is too low because I look at 51. I'm like, LeBron James coming off all this rest, okay, and with a chip on his shoulder, like Perk said. We saw what happened the last time that happened. They won a chip in Los Angeles with him in that similar situation. Now, Perk, 70 wins, you've lost your damn mind. Okay, 70 wins is crazy.
Thank you.
But George, listen, I didn't say I said they could be knocking at the door. That means they could have 65 wins. Would y'all be surprised if they have a 65?
That's kind of far from the door, I think, 65 for 70.
Would y'all be surprised?
I would be surprised if they have a 65. Because to your point about the Bucks.
Yeah.
I would be surprised, Perk, because to your point about the Bucks, we know that Giannis doesn't take his foot off the gas. So I could be flat out wrong on that one. On this one, this is a team of veterans who know exactly how to push the speed limit, pull back, push the brake. So I would be very surprised if they win 65 games. Yes.
The fascinating part about all this is we all agree, but yet we don't agree. Okay, that's the great part of this particular conversation. All right, lastly, we got the Miami Heat. Perk, Caesars list their win total at 47. They added Kyle Lowry. I know you talk about them boys from Dade County. You have another nickname for them that I'll let you say. Are you going over or under on the Miami Heat?
Oh, I'm going under, but slight under. Like, I think it's going to be a 45-win season. I think the only two teams in the Eastern Conference that are going to win over 48 games is the Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. So I'm going with the under, just because I think they're going to win about 45 games.
Wow, Perk, this was the one that I was probably most confident in them going over. I got them getting to at least 50 because of the lore of Heat culture. And I think the two guys that they added in the offseason, and Tucker and Lowry, they bring you championship pedigree. And I'm certainly sure that they want to bounce back after last season.
Yeah, listen, I'm with Monica here, Perk. Perk, you're going to lose your 305 card, man, after you were talking about Fabuloso and the cleaning products down in Dade County. All right, they're gonna revoke your Miami privileges. Yeah, 47 wins, Perk, that's over on that. As Monica said, you bring in a Kyle Lowry. He talked about it this week, how he is hungry. He picked Miami because their culture is about winning championships, and that's what he wants to do. I think everybody's sleeping on Miami. I think Tyler Hero will have a bounce back season. You see him in the gym the other day, he swole all of a sudden. You better be careful. He may get tested like De'Aaron Fox did the other day.
Well, hold on, George and Monica. Don't get too hostile with me. I didn't say that they wasn't going to be a top five team in the Eastern Conference. I'm just looking at the teams in the Eastern Conference alone, and they have a lot of competition. They have the Bucks, they have Philly, they have the Nets, Chicago got better, the Knicks, the Hawks, the Celtics. All I'm saying is I still have them a top five team in the Eastern Conference. I'm never going to go against them goons from Dade County and Eric Spoelstra. And look, if they win 45 games, that's still a hell of a season.
Not in Miami, man. Listen.
You're right.
Not in Miami. 45 wins, Pat Riley's trading people, if that's the target that they're on. Let's be real here. All right. Coming up next, 2018 number one overall pick DeAndre Ayton has seen a few players in his draft class receive max extensions. Should the Suns make him the next one on that particular list? That's next. Stick around. Here on The Jump, more fireworks, more dogs. Sunday on ABC, Tina Charles and the Mystics continue their push for a playoff berth as they face Candace Parker in the sky at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on ABC and the ESPN app. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Julius Randle and his son Kaiden have announced a partnership with JD Sports and JD Sports Kids. Monica, I know you've been around the two here, so during this Knicks playoff run last season, you think Kaiden and his dad are made for this partnership or what?
Without question, George. I mean, first of all, Kaiden is like the perfect kid, and he's just great at everything, and he's in touch with his emotions. He cried when the Knicks couldn't beat the Nets in that last regular season matchup. And with NIL, I mean, now is the time. This is going to go with him the rest of his career. You know, he's going to be in the NBA. Like, it's great. This is a young icon in the making.
Absolutely. Look, I'm so happy for Julius Randle and his son Cotton, because now Cotton has his own bank account. He's able to stack his own money. But on top of that, as being a former NBA player, these are the moments that you cherish and you live for. To be able to share these type of experiences with your sons, daughters, or your children, and to have a shoe deal with your son is everything, especially while you're still playing. I actually love this.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. Yeah, awesome, awesome stuff. All right, let's move on here on the No Chill Gil podcast with our pal Gilbert Arenas. Kyle Kuzma revealed he was surprised to be traded to the Wizards because he thought he was heading to the Kings for Buddy Hield. So, Perk, what do you expect to see from Kuz in D.C.?
You know what? I expect Kuz to have a career year. Now, will he make an all-star game? I'm not saying that, but people have to realize it's a lot of pressure
playing alongside LeBron James and playing for a championship. In Washington, it's no pressure. It's just pressure to get to the playoffs. So I'm looking for Kuz to have that monkey off his back. He's going to go out there, be able to play freely, and I'm looking for him to have a career year this year.
Career year is strong, but I do expect him. For me, Perk, this is an opportunity for him to refocus. While I won't say it's no pressure in Washington, D.C. is obviously very different from the glitz and glam of L.A. And so I think he'll have an opportunity to fall back in love with the game of basketball, quite honestly, unless he plans to get involved in politics somehow over here in Washington. So I think this is an opportunity for him. Right. I think this is an opportunity for him to run alongside a guy like Bradley Beal, who he could mimic a bit in terms of his ascent through the league as one of the younger guys if he puts in that kind of work and gets to that level of productivity.
Look, Kyle Kuzma is a good basketball player. There's no question about that. You know, he's become he's a good scorer, I think, particularly. And he thrived when he was a young player with a bad Lakers team when he had the ball in his hands a ton. Now, he may have the ball in his hands way more with Bradley Beal and this Wizards team, as Bradley being kind of the only other guy that really needs the ball. I know Spencer Dinwiddie's there as well, and he'll get some touches too. But I think that Kuz could kind of expand his horizons a little bit offensively. And he became a much better defender with the Lakers. Frank Vogel told me last season that Kuz was asking for the best player to guard on the other team. That was something that...
I don't know why.
He's made strides there, Perk. Be nice. All right.
He was raising to the account,
correct,
the challenge of the occasion.
Right, accountability. He was taking accountability on that. All right, over the last 6 weeks, we've seen Luka Doncic, Perk, you wrong, man, Trae Young and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander sign rookie max extensions. But the number one overall pick from that draft, DeAndre Ayton, has not. Ayton averaged 16 points, 12 boards, and shot nearly 66% from the field during the Suns' postseason run to the finals. So, Perk, are you surprised that Ayton and the Suns haven't finalized an extension just yet?
No, I'm not surprised. And George, you shouldn't be either. Look, this is why. Who's the general manager of the Phoenix Suns? James Jones. What did he grow up under? The Pat Riley culture. Bam out of the Bayou didn't sign his contract extension until the last day. The last day, DeAndre Ayton will sign this extension, but it would not be until close to the deadline.
That's actually a really astute point, Perk. Shout out to you for that one. But I kind of saw it a little bit differently. When you look at his classmates, y'all, those guys all have the ability to create their own shot and create for others. Do I think DeAndre Ayton will get there? Yes. Is he? Can you see the future in which he is an important tenant on a championship-capable franchise? 100%. But I think there's a little bit of urgency when you look at positions when we have this conversation. And as much as we think every GM is original, guards still have a big, or guys with guard skill set, at least, are still running the league.
Yeah, I agree with both of you, actually, in this situation. I think James and DeAndre will get this thing done. It may take a minute. And I think Monica makes an astute point about the guards in that particular class. And shout out to James Jones, American High School. I was a senior in high school when he was a freshman. Still got love for you, JJ. Thanks to Ramona, Myron, Perk, and Monica for joining us here. We're back on ESPN2 tomorrow. NFL Live is next.